I'm James Erpine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Monday. A lot to discuss today. You're going to hear from defensive coordinator Terrell Austin. You're going to hear from Jesse Bates, who's the new starting safety for the Bengals. You're also going to hear from Jay Kirkpatrick on what was an interesting turn of events at Paul Brown Stadium when the Bengals opted to let go and release George Iloka was going into his seventh year with the Bengals. They did that yesterday. So I will discuss that. I will discuss my takeaways from what I saw on Saturday night. Joe Goodberry of The Athletic will be joining us on this podcast tomorrow. And by the way, if you're looking to subscribe to Joe's work, I have a promo code for you for 40% off. And it's something that isn't going to run forever. And it's something that I think if you're going to use The Athletic, which obviously I'm a big fan of The Athletic and I'm a big fan of Joe, and they hired Jay Morrison as well on the Bengals beat. Go to theathletic.com/lockedonbengals. We've partnered up with The Athletic to get you an even better discount. I want you guys to have that access. I love our website, lockedonbengals.com. I love doing the podcast. The Athletic is different. It's unique. And I want you to have that access as well. So 40% off a first-year subscription, which is a really good deal. It's less than a morning coffee per month. And all you got to do is go to theathletic.com/lockedonbengals. But let's dive into it here, because it was unforeseen for a lot of you. A lot of you didn't see it coming, and I totally understand it. But the reality is I had heard this for months. I had heard it for months. And if you have listened on this podcast, I think you'll remember back when they were flirting with Eric Reed, I said, hey, it's Iloka. Iloka's the guy. And it was the one they'd move on from. And when I first heard it, I was shocked like a lot of fans were yesterday. But the reality is George Iloka was a guy who defensive coordinator Terrell Austin didn't feel like could make plays on the ball. That's the reality of it. Now, he might not come out and say that exactly. That might not be exactly what you think. I know there's been, and I want to shut this down, and you're entitled to your opinion, but this idea that the Bengals didn't like the social media side of George Iloka, and that's why, stop it. Months ago, literally, this isn't, oh, in August we decided to do this. They were thinking about this for 6 months, 7 months. After Terrell Austin reviewed the film, George Iloka, and it's simple. It's easy to see why. What has Terrell Austin talked about? For months, turnovers. What did George Iloka not do last year? Force turnovers. A play that stands out to me, the Pittsburgh game, in which the Bengals were up, 17-0 at one point? And they should have won. The game that ended really ugly, and George Iloka actually had a huge hit on Antonio Brown and ended up getting suspended a game for it. But that game, I think, is a big reason why George Iloka might not have his job right now. A ball that was easily picked hits him in the face mask. And if you remember that, it hits him in the face mask. He could have intercepted it. And if he intercepts that, the Bengals win the game. Instead, he doesn't. The Steelers get another chance. And there you go. Steelers end up winning the game. And that's just one of the many plays that could have dictated and changed the game. But Terrell Austin is looking for guys that makes plays. Playmakers, ball hawks. What has been the theme? What have you heard for months and months and months? All of those things. And while I like George Iloka for a variety of reasons, I enjoyed talking with him in the locker room about The Walking Dead. I enjoyed talking with him about cooking and his engagement video or his proposal. All of the different things. Like, he's a really good dude, and he's a really good player in the league, and he's going to end up somewhere. I know the Raiders are already interested. I wouldn't be surprised if there were a bunch of other teams interested. I tweeted those out at James Erpine. But the reality of it is he did not fit what the Bengals wanted to do, especially with the contract he had. Safety market much different than it was a couple of years ago when he signed that 5-year, $30 million deal. Safety market is much different. And so that's why I think we've seen the last, and that's why we've seen George Iloka, and he's out the door now. Didn't fit. They wanted a playmaker. They got to see Jesse Bates. They liked him. All right, then. Now, if they ended up signing Eric Reed, this would have happened much sooner. If they would have signed Kurt Coleman and they tried to go, they were going after hard after Kurt Coleman, former safety of the Panthers who ended up signing with New Orleans. If they would have signed him, this would have happened months ago. I know that I've been told that by multiple sources. I'll put it that way. So if that's the case, don't make this about what's on social media. The Bengals wanted a certain type of safety, ball hawk, opposite Sean Williams. That's the reality of it. They like Sean Williams. He's around the ball a lot. They think he'll be able to make plays. They wanted a guy who could go up and get it, a guy who could make plays on the back end, and what they were worried about with Jesse Bates, could he tackle or not? So they kept Iloka around. They wanted to see Bates. They think he could tackle, and that is the reality of it. I hate to be the bearer of whatever news. I get it. There's some people, oh, man, Mike Brown asked Eric Reed if he's going to kneel or not during the anthem. Man, he's got it. This is it, too. He didn't like what George Iloka was posting on social media. The Bengals dealt with Chad Ochocinco on Twitter. Think they're worried about what George Iloka is saying on Twitter? I'm serious about that. Like that, I don't think that played a factor in it at all. George Iloka, it's not like he's like this crazy. He's got 37,000 followers on Twitter, which is awesome, much more than me. But let's be real here. Wasn't changing the world with what he tweets. Wasn't talking to 3 million people like Chad did. So to me, no, I don't think it's an issue one bit. I think that the reality is if Iloka had 5 interceptions last year, he'd still be here. If Iloka was seen as a ball hawk and fit the description of what Terrell Austin wanted and what this defense wanted to change itself into and mold itself into, then not only would he still be here, but they wouldn't have entertained the idea of going after Kurt Coleman or Eric Reed. They wouldn't entertain the idea of drafting a safety in the second round. But the reality is when you have a pass rush like the Bengals do on paper, potentially, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to get guys that can make plays because quarterbacks are going to be under pressure. They're going to get rid of the ball and they're going to make mistakes. And what you need to do as a defensive back on this defense is make said play, especially after watching that first team offense. They're going to need the defense to step up some, aren't they, going into this season. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Jesse Bates talked with me, talked with other reporters earlier today in the Bengals locker room. Here is the rookie on Iloka being released, on him potentially getting the starting job and more.
It was very surprising. You know, George is a good guy, and I was in the training room when I heard the news. So, you know, it's not a bad thing. But I know that guy has different plans for George, and he was a great leader for us. Even better man. So, I mean, I like what he did for me for my transition as making this transition as a rookie. I got a lot of respect for him.
I know it's tough when any guy loses his job, but do you feel any sense of confidence that this team has in you now with, you know, kind of spotlights on you now?
I think I got the same mindset. I think going into this thing, I just wanted to come in and, you know, gain the respect and gain the trust of my coaches and my players. So that'll help us as a defense and as a team. So I think this is kind of a confidence boost. But anything can happen still, and, you know, nothing's going to be given.
And Jesse, it also comes with maybe a little more pressure that they expect you to step in and start week one. Is there more pressure on you now, do you think?
I wouldn't say more pressure. Like I said, I still got the same mindset. I know I have older guys I can lean on still in this locker room, but we're definitely going to have to fill the shoes for George.
Obviously, you've shown the coaches something here in the preseason and also in the offseason training. What do you think you've shown them that they have this kind of confidence in you?
I think just coming in and just being able to use my football IQ and, you know, being able to just learn all the playbook and, you know, being able to, which translates to me playing fast on the field. I don't think that decision was just based on me playing well. I think it was some other reasons as well. So I just, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity.
What'd you learn from George?
I mean, coming in, you know, you kind of come in as a rookie, you go through a rookie mini camp and, you know, you learn the base of the defense, and then you get thrown in with the older guys. And, you know, a lot of guys, they kind of, you know, they kind of, like, get overwhelmed with the playbook. And, you know, you got George who isn't just a football player. He's an actual coach on the field as well. He did a good job of, you know, helping me with corrections, you know, more in depth because, I mean, the coaches can tell you as much as possible. I mean, they can tell you everything, but, you know, once you get it from the player's perspective, I think that helps a lot more.
Dre talked about you making coverage calls on Saturday and the confidence he has in you. How confident are you in that because you haven't done it at this level for very long?
I mean, I think it's the same thing as college, man. I feel like if I know my playbook and I'm very confident in my calls and, you know, I'm a rookie, but I have to play like an older guy.
Has that been something you've had to kind of think about more in the last couple of days and last day and a half about asserting yourself, taking that step to play like an older guy and can't play like a rookie because this team has plans to do big things and they're relying on you now?
I think first week of training camp when I was getting thrown in with the ones, that's when the mindset kind of got thrown in at me. I mean, whether I was running with the ones or twos, I have to act like an older guy. And I mean, that's anyone for in this locker room. I think the expectation is very high for us.
Why is this next preseason game important for you personally and this team?
Well, we're actually going to game plan this game. So I think this will be huge to see what guys can, you know, translate what the coaches, you know, put in the game plan and translate it to the field. So I think that'll be a big thing for us leading in to going into the regular season.
How did you feel about the way things went Saturday night for you personally?
I felt really good about it. I felt like I came in there. My boy Rod Smith, he tried to run me over in the open field. But I think that was pretty cool, playing against my boys from back at home. You know, getting in there, get my feet wet, and just continue to get experience to, you know, hopefully contribute this year.
I mean, the whole talk when they drafted you is the ball skills, ball hawking and all that. Do you think the run support is an underrated part of your game?
Yeah, I haven't been able to show the ball skills and stuff like that yet. So I think one of the focus I've been focusing on throughout the offseason is my tackling. You know, I think that's something that everyone kind of downplayed me as a safety coming out. I think that my tackling in college wasn't as good. So, you know, continue to work on that. I think that was a big part of Saturday for me.
Dre talked about your ability to recognize, diagnose, and communicate a call. You know, and that was a big thing with George. George was real smart that way. Do you feel like a responsibility to hold up your end of the bargain in that?
Yeah, like I said, my football IQ, I think I'm pretty good with, you know, digesting offenses and, you know, being able to learn the playbook. So, obviously, George knew a lot more than me. George is a 7-year vet, and he did a good job in this program. He left it better than he found it. So, that's all you can ask from that guy. And, you know, I'm sure everyone in this locker room is thankful for him.
What do you think is the biggest thing now that you've been exposed a little bit to the NFL game, not a regular season game yet, but the speed of a preseason game? You played a pretty, you know, high level of football collegiately. Is the speed of the game that big of a deal adjustment-wise to you?
To be honest, I haven't really seen it yet.
Right.
That could change. But, I mean, I think the O-linemen are a lot faster in this game. But right. I think the skill players, I've been over top and, you know, I haven't really seen much change of the speed.
This team hasn't started a rookie on defense in almost a decade for a season opener. Have you thought about, I mean, assuming that that's going to be your role week one, have you thought about what the emotions are going to be like in that first game, just a couple hours from home?
Like I said, the mindset of me, I don't think it's changed. I'm going to lean on the older guys because it's going to be my first rookie game, and I'm going back home. So, I mean, I'm very thankful for that. Like I said, I'm not given anything yet. I'm not given this starting position yet. I still have to work for it, and I still have a lot of work to do.
You know what Jesse Bates is, or who he's like, or who he reminds me of? And that's Jesse Bates in the Bengals locker room. And you might have hated that. You might have liked that. I wanted to give you an idea of what the new starting safety, free safety, is for the Bengals. Very even keel. Calm, cool, collected. That's instant. My instant reaction to him. It will not be too big for him being out there. Now, is he going to make mistakes? Yes. Is he going to have his mess-ups? Yes. But ultimately, it's not going to be too big for him. And that's my biggest takeaway for Jesse Bates and what it means. Tomorrow on the podcast, Joe Goodberry of The Athletic will join me. But defensive coordinator Terrell Austin on the Jesse Bates move and so much more. He met with reporters today. You'll hear all of it, plus Dre Kirkpatrick on what it means to see Iloka leave the Bengals. That, as we roll on, this is the Locked On Bengals podcast. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm James Erpine. Let's hear from Dre Kirkpatrick. Here is Dre on the Bengals deciding to release George Iloka?
He was always in the right position. He was always a great communicator. And most importantly, he was a great friend of mine. You know, we came in together. We started this journey together. And this one, you know, this one kind of bothered me a little bit, you know, because how close we was and the friendship that we've gained over the years of being together. But like I said, man, it's a business. I got to respect the team for how they did it. They gave him opportunity to still be able to get another job, you know. And at the end of the day, I feel like that's a sign of love and respect.
What you learned most from him, either on or off the field? What was the biggest thing you learned from George Iloka?
Consistency. You know, he stuck with the things that he did to get himself ready. The guy worked out every day. You know, he didn't take days off. He didn't take plays off. He was always ready, you know. Man, somebody's going to get a great leader, man. Somebody's going to get a great person and a great football player in George Iloka.
What was the emotional reaction when you found out yesterday?
I'm not going to say disappointing, you know, because, like I said, it's a business. But, you know, I was – that bothered me a little bit, you know. At this time, I just wish him the best, you know, because I was telling some of the guys, man, everybody had their day, you know. So you just got to make sure you're ready, you know. When the dust settles, you can still be able to stand back up, and hopefully you have everything in line and be successful wherever you end up.
Do you think you guys got enough here to replace him?
Yeah, you know, I truly believe in Jesse if that's where we're going with it. Like I said, we don't really know. They haven't made it official to us yet, but common sense will tell you that's where it's going. And I believe in Jesse, man. Just watching the guy on film, he's popping out. You know, he's all over the film, made great plays. Saturday night, he was all over the field. He was communicating. We was doing some great things. And you know, but that's where we at right now, so that's what we got to put our trust and belief in.
Veteran guys like Brandon, veteran guys like George, or like Joe, does it kind of send a jolt through the room a little bit?
Say it again.
When guys like Brandon, a veteran guy, LaFell, mm-hmm. veteran guy like George, or like Joe, does it kind of send a jolt through the room? Does it kind of get everybody's attention?
I don't think those moves was attention moves. I don't think those moves were moves where more so disciplinary type moves where guys need to wake up and, nah, I just feel like, you know, those was moves that the team felt like need to be done. That was the best move for the team. You know, LaFell's situation, I don't really know. I'm not in his room. But George's situation, I could say, you know, the team did what they felt best, and we got to go with the guys that's in the room, and everybody got to be ready to go.
How surprised were you?
I was very surprised, man. Like I said, this one came out of nowhere for me. I didn't see this one. You know, it was a real shocker. But at the end of the day, man, the team got to do its best for the team.
Jesse was saying that the last week, he said if the veterans had a pitch about him, it was you got to talk, got to be more vocal, got to be louder.
Right.
I guess that's something, you know, I don't know if guys like you harp on that with them or if that's more of a Sean thing. Or
I just feel like that's everybody thing. Everybody needs to be able to communicate. Everybody needs to be vocal. Guys need to step out of their shells and, you know, follow suit. But the guy communicated perfectly with me in the game. You know, he was giving me my reads, giving me my calls and things like that. I didn't have an issue with him. So, you know, you'll have to ask him where he's going with that.
That's Dre Kirkpatrick, who met with the media earlier today at Paul Brown Stadium. By the way, tomorrow on the podcast, we will do a full recap of what happened on Saturday night. But with this George Iloka news, I wanted to cover it from every single angle. And on today's podcast, I felt like it was key to hear from Jesse Bates, who's kind of the heir to the throne, right? Dre Kirkpatrick, a guy who's now one of the older veterans in that secondary. And then on the other side of things, the coordinator, Terrell Austin. What was he thinking with this move? What was his mindset? Plus, he was asked about Andrew Billings and more. There's some good stuff, good nuggets in here about the defense on what happened Saturday night as well. Terrell Austin met with the media earlier today. I even snuck in a question, but this is Dave Lapham. This is Paul Daner Jr. This is a bunch of different Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, myself, Catherine Terrell, ESPN, Jay Morrison, The Athletic. I mean, there's so many people here asking him questions, but it's a big scrum. But I think it's interesting stuff on the Bengals defense. Here's Bengals defensive coordinator Terrell Austin in his media session with us earlier today at Paul Brown Stadium.
Well, I think, you know, upstairs they obviously made decisions that we think are best for the football team. I'll start this out by saying George is a true professional, really good worker, great guy, great teammate. But we also, I think in the long-term interest, we really feel really good where we are with our young safeties moving along that way. And so I think that's overall why it was made.
What have you seen specifically from Jesse that you really like and like moving forward?
Well, I think when we watched him coming out, we knew he had really good movement, really good range, got around the ball. Biggest issue I thought was, you know, how is he going to tackle in our league? And he's shown, I think, a willingness to tackle. He's been a really solid tackler, really good angles, getting guys down. And so I think that was the the one question we needed answered.
When you look at George, football IQ, as strong as anybody, like a mm-hmm. coach in the field kind of guy. Bates seems to be cut from that cloth. I mean, he's smart as hell. And is mm-hmm. he, even though he's a young guy, a lot of trust you have in him and able to call, make the calls and all that?
Absolutely. He's going to grow. He's going to make some mistakes. He's going to, as all young guys do, they're going to have some questions and they're going to have some bad plays. It's going to happen. But I think when you look at his upside and his ceiling, I really think he's got a chance to be a really good player and help us in terms of turning the ball over, being a guy out there as a field general and getting everything lined up, because I think he is really bright.
He's kind of got a rep as, if you talk to people who've been around him, he's got a rep as kind of being a film junkie guy. Have you found him to be a guy who's a studier or a guy that...
I think what happens, you don't... You know, obviously I don't see him studying, but you know guys that study, because when they come out, they're not making a ton of mistakes, or if they make mistakes, they figure out how to fix them the next time. And I think that's one of the things with him. He's been able to fix some mistakes that he's made, and I think that'll be his strength moving forward.
You repped him a lot with Sean and then with George, with the ones. How important was it to see him kind of interact with that first unit at times, both in camp and in some of the games, in the preseason games?
Well, I think it was important because we were evaluating, you know, what was best with those guys and how fast we could bring them along and if he was up to the challenge. We know George and we know Sean are NFL players. NFL safeties have played a lot of games in this league, and we wanted to see how he would react playing against good guys, being in there with the first group, being able to communicate and earn the trust of his teammates.
What about the defense in general, their performance against Dallas? Run the ball pretty well. It looked like the run fits were pretty solid.
Yeah, we had I think in the first half we had one misfit on the run, but other than that, I thought our guys were really stout against the run. We were really doing a good job in terms of holding the edge and keeping the ball inside and tackling, and that's as good as of an offensive line as we'll see all year. And so I was excited about that part of it, and now we just got to continue to build on it, because run defense is an area we must improve.
How much does Billings being as disruptive as he was in that game change, you know, how good you can be on run defense? So that's kind of a key to the whole thing, right?
Absolutely. I thought Billy played really well. I don't even know what day it is, Saturday. I thought he played really well, was really disruptive, was able to move in there and get penetration. He was able to hold on to double teams and keep our linebackers clear. So I thought he played a really good amount of snaps. I think he played maybe 20-something snaps, and they were really productive, and I'm looking forward to that. And that's good for us. That's big for us, because we know what Geno's going to do. We know what that three technique's going to do, and having the nose next to him play well like that's problems for people.
It's kind of a continuation of his whole camp, right? It seems like he's been like that since day one of camp out there, and in the first game, he seems to have really turned a corner.
Yeah, he has. He's worked really hard, and I think he's one of the things with big guys like him is if you can keep the weight steady and under control, he's able to move, and that's the big thing. I know I've talked to him about it, and he's done a really good job of being disciplined with his weight and keeping it kind of in the area that we need it, because that's where we feel he's effective, and it's showing up.
Your scheme, though, I mean, when you make the call that dictates the penetration, Okoye was doing it too. I mean, Okoye mm-hmm. kicked their ass a few times and got penetration as well. So, I mean, it's having the right players fit what you want done, right?
Absolutely. I think you do. You want to have guys that can do it. You're asking them to do it, and both those guys can. But I was really excited about Billy. I thought he played really well.
Right.
You lose 76 stats with George, but it seems like, you know, you just look at that 16 draft class. You get Jackson, you get Vigil, you got Billings. Mm-hmm. I mean, you seem to have, you know, you seems to be guys who are about ready to take a leap, it seems like.
They should. I think most guys in the second, third year, you're really trying to find out what – you really should have a really good idea what kind of player you're going to have. And I think those guys are really improving. Obviously, you mentioned Billy and then Nick. You watch Nick run around and Jordan Evans. We got some young guys in there that are really running. I think that's good for us because I think when you look at us, we've improved our team speed, which nowadays with teams trying to spread you out and still run the ball, you got to have guys that are stout but also can run. And I think that's one thing that you'll notice with our guys. I thought we ran really, really well. You watch Preston Brown, who's a 260-pound guy. Now, he's not young. He's in his fifth year. But you watch him run around and chase the ball. I mean, it was impressive.
He's only 25.
But he's still 5 years. He's got a lot of wear and tear.
Like LeBron, a lot of wear and tear.
A lot of snaps.
Yeah. All those young guys that Butch was talking about, you had – that rookie year to kind of ease in. How much pressure do you think there's going to be on Jesse, to assuming he is out there as the starter day one?
Well, there's pressure on all of us. And I think he'll handle it. I don't think the nice thing about the kid is I think it's just, you know, it's just football to him. And so all the other stuff really doesn't matter. And, you know, that's what you look for, especially in the first, like even in the first preseason game when he had an opportunity to get in there. You know, it wasn't like it was anything different. It wasn't, in his mind, I'm just playing football like I've been playing all my life. And I thought he handled it well, so I don't think there'll be any difference as we move forward. There'll be some times where maybe he's, you know, he'll be maybe a little inconsistent like some rookies are, but I think he'll handle that and adapt.
So your experiences you've had with him from a personality standpoint, he looks real cool, calm, composed. It's like the old duck, you don't see feet under the water. On top, it looks like not much is happening. Is he like that all the time? Is he kind of like very steady, Eddie, composed kind of guy all the time?
He is. He's you know, he's there. You could tell he's paying attention. He's not a guy that does a lot of joking around and a lot of playing around.
Right.
You know, sometimes you'll see guys that do that because they're kind of a little bit
trying to
don't quite know, yeah, I don't know quite know what I'm doing, but he's serious about everything he's doing, and then so I think that'll be and that's good for him in terms of how he'll handle things, and I think he'll stay off the roller coaster. Because as you guys know, the season can be a roller coaster, and if you start riding it like that, you know your performances are going to suffer. But I think he'll be able to fight through the ups and downs and keep it pretty steady.
It seems like he's won the veterans over in that room, although, you know, they're young. I mean, Dre's the oldest guy in the room, but the guys that have had some experience, they seem to respect what he can do, you know, intellectually and with his football mind. And I mean, he's kind of won them over, hasn't he, it seems like?
I think so. I think what wins the veterans over when young guys come in, they keep their mouth shut and they work. And that's what he's done.
And he's a guy that figures into that team speed thing. He gives you a boost team speed wise.
Absolutely, he can run. He can run and cover some ground. He's got tremendous ball skills. So he's got
something we really haven't seen that coach yet. Really, his ball skills. We haven't really, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, is that? Do you think that's more of a product of? It's not a hell of a lot to show, or do you think there's?
They'll show up. I think eventually what happens is when opportunities present themselves, they won't be missed. That's what we're looking for, a guy that won't miss them and guys back there that can take advantage of them. And that's all over the defense. We got to have guys that turn the ball over because we want to give our offense as many opportunities as possible and keep the other team out of the end zone and give our offense as many opportunities as possible.
He and Quez almost had that one the other night, I guess. Yeah,
they both jumped about that.
your mindset as a coordinator, do you – How much liberty do you give your safeties, saying, all right, this guy understands, I'm going to let him make a call? I might not necessarily agree with the call he made, but hell, they went out and they executed. I mean, what's your mindset as a coach on that kind of stuff?
My mindset is, hey, I want you guys to do it how we've worked on it all week. And then sometimes what I'll tell our guys, and usually it's the veteran guys who've been around and have been in situations, if they make another call, because, you know, like anything, you have a toolbox.
Sure.
You got other ways to do it.
Sure.
And if they make the call, then that's their business decision. So
right.
If it works, it's great. If not, then you got to answer.
You got held to pay.
And, yeah, you're held accountable.
Right.
And so I think one of the things we talk to our guys about is, you know, we want you to have responsibility for what you do and accountability for what you do, because then they'll take ownership in the defense. If they don't have, you know, if we're holding them accountable but we don't give them any responsibility, or if we're holding them responsible and don't give them any accountability, it doesn't work. And so we try to give them both of that. And we try to treat them like men, with the idea that, hey, we all can think, we all might not see it the same, you know. So we want to make sure, hey, listen, this is how we want to do it. If you do something different, okay, hey, yes. Mm-hmm. But I like to talk to our guys. Hey, it's your defense. I'm not playing. I'm slow and I'm old and probably get hurt if I was running down the hallway. So, but I want you guys to take responsibility for what you do and be accountable for what you do. And they have. They've done a good job. And we've had some situations where they didn't make the calls we want. And you say, hey, why didn't you do that? Well, I saw this and blah, blah, blah. And right. You say, okay.
Right.
Hey, if it worked, okay, but here's how we want you to do it. We still think this works. This or we say, hey, listen, way, maybe right. This is the best. Right. Maybe that what you did is the best way for you guys when right. You're out there, and that's how we'll do it.
So. Right. Just a couple more because I do have to let him get back to work.
So you talked about Jesse, how good he's been at tackling. It looks like it's been good across the board. I mean, mm-hmm. It's easy to say that's what we expect of these guys, but because you've done it so little in camp, are you surprised at all that it – at where it's at now?
No, I never take tackling for granted, because it's a lost art. And so I thought one of the things we've done, you know, even though we couldn't tackle, we spent a lot of time technique-wise in terms of making sure same foot, same shoulder, getting in the proper positions, getting in proper angles. And we spent a lot of time of that in the OTAs and in camp. And so it's nice to see that's paying off right now.
Did Henderson show you anything? You know, dinged up a little bit the way he went in there immediately, you know, get in the mix. I mean,
he's somebody. He's as a young guy, he's somebody. Every time you put him in, he shows up.
Right.
And that's good. And so I'm excited to see, you know, what the next couple weeks holds for him, because I think he's, you know, he's one of those guys that kind of you don't really know about, and then all of a sudden he just keeps showing up and making a play here, making a play there, and you can't discount that.
Runs pretty well.
Yeah.
How does your approach change? Kind of relying on a rookie like Jesse versus coaching a guy like George?
Approach doesn't change at all. No, we're playing ball. And we're out there to win the game and do what we have to do to win as many games as we can. And he's got to be a part of that. And if not, then we'll have someone else that'll be able to step in there and do it. But that's really what we're doing. We're not going to hold him to any less standard than we would hold anybody else.
Is Wilson a guy that can play both corner and safety, or is he purely a safety?
I think he's more of a safety. Mm-hmm. He can really run straight line, and he's got some pretty good ball skills, but I think he's more of a safety.
Is Josh the only guy that can really do both?
He's the only guy that does both right now. Yeah. Well, you didn't watch. We had the mock game, Clayton. Fedulin was out there playing corner. Yeah. See, you're not paying attention to what you missed that one. You did, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Go back. It's probably in your notes. You got to go back and check
it
your
is.
Notes.
So, but no, it's – you know, right now Josh is the only one, and really Josh has just been playing safety and nickel. Right. So,
yeah.
But I had one of my best nickels I ever had play for me was a safety in Entrell Roll. So that's a unique thing, because you got a guy like that. Usually they're big and they can tackle, which is good for him in that slot area. So
that's Terrell Austin. He met with the Bengals media, including myself and others. That's the Bengals defensive coordinator. I think he's excited about the guy they got. By the way, we have a voicemail. I forgot to mention this, but thanks to everyone who chimed in. We're going to use it this week, I promise. Voicemail number, if you want to call in on the Locked On Bengals voicemail, simple, 513-666. Hey, it's Google Voice, not me. 513-666-0328. And you can leave your thoughts on the Bengals. I'll either transcribe them and put them on the website or play them on the podcast. I hope to play as many as I can on the podcast here on Locked On Bengals. I got about 10 voicemails already. We'll get them, and we are going to use them this week. It's going to happen. It's just with this Iloka news, with Joe Goodberry, who I'm trying to hopefully get on the show tomorrow. It sounds like it was going to happen. It was going to happen today. Didn't work out for his schedule, so I think tomorrow. But we will get to your voicemails as well and do that throughout the season. So thanks to all who called in. If not, save it. Put it in your phone right now. 513-666-0328. Leave a voicemail. That way, when the Bengals win or lose on Sundays, you can react to it and get mentioned on the podcast. I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening today. Until tomorrow, this has been the Locked On Bengals podcast.